Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Bricado's Sandwich Shop, home of the best devil crabs in town. Yum! 5021 East Columbus Drive in Tampa, right next to Ybor City. When you go by there, and I know you will, don't forget to try that devil crab. Bucks Uncensored is also brought to you by Sports Legends Bar and Grill, home of the Commish's 2017 NFL Draft Party, where stick carriers unite. Sports Legends Bar and Grill on the corner of US 19 and Drew in Clearwater. Sports Legends, where you can eat like a legend.
I'm tired of getting disrespected. Yeah. I'm tired of low expectations. I know what we're about. I know what we're about. I know how great we are. Let's keep stacking them W's and let's do it as a family. One heartbeat. Let's get it.
Tiptoeing along the sideline is Brent Grimes. Did he stay in bounds? One official looks at the other, and it is signaled a touchdown. And Winston throws, and that is a touchdown for Evan.
Less than 3 weeks away from the greatest draft party you'll ever go to. Sports Legends, home of the Bucks Uncensored draft party, hosted by me, the Commish. And it's gonna be insane. Now, it's gonna be fun, because we're going to be drinking and partying and eating and just having a great time for two straight nights. But the reason it's going to be really fun is because you all are going to be so smart and so caught up and understand every aspect of the NFL draft, because Luke Easterling is going to teach us and continue to teach us all about it. TheDraftWire.com, he is the draft guru for the USA Today Wire sites, and he joins us on the Bucks Uncensored podcast. Hello, Luke.
Good evening, my friend.
3 weeks away from the NFL draft. Any late buzz? I know we got some late Bucks buzz on Friday afternoon.
I think we're going to talk running back in a minute with that buzz, but I think the interesting one is the talk of Christian McCaffrey top 10. I think we saw that from Peter Schrager from Fox Sports. So maybe Carolina at 8 if Fournette's off the board. So, I mean, this is the point. I mean, you know, we go through this every year. We've done this forever. So it's a few things will come out that'll end up proving true that maybe we didn't think about until now. But really, I mean, 75 to 90% of what we hear over the next 3 weeks is just going to be people throwing stuff at the wall and losing their minds because the cycle is finally coming to a close.
Yeah, I say this every year. I usually listen to rumors until late March, and then as we get into April, really I don't listen to rumors again until I'm going to say this right now. I think 48 hours from the 48-hour mark up to the start of the draft, that's when the rumors to me start to become real again. I don't know why. You would think that's when the smoke screens would really be at their peak. Maybe that's just my opinion, but I just feel like you start to get more truth to the rumors at that point. But this lull period right now, when most of the evaluation is done, teams are just maybe starting to toy with other teams and trying to get guys to fall to where they are, or guys that they don't really want to go higher, to maybe drop other guys down to where they pick. I don't know. I just feel like this 2 to 3 week stretch here is, it's just, you got to take everything with such a grain of salt.
You really do. And I just don't get too worked up about it. I mean, you know, obviously it's my job to report what's out there and report what's being talked about and what I hear. But I mean, really behind the scenes, it's all about, none of that stuff really matters until the night actually comes, until draft week actually comes and you see what happens, because we've seen things go down that, you know, turned out to be true. But I mean, the Joey Bosa pick, for instance, I mean, there was no indication over that last half of the pre-draft process that the Chargers had any interest whatsoever in Bosa, or that he was a fit for them. The big conversation over that last couple weeks centered around the Bucs, who were picking at 9, and maybe Bosa will be on the board there because people were kind of falling out of love with him and thinking he's boring and he can't be a 10 sack guy. Well, the Chargers knew better and they kept it close to the vest and took him at 3. So it's just a prime example of the fact that you can say all this stuff and the rumors are going to fly everywhere, but when draft night actually comes, it's just better off to kind of plug your ears until then at some point.
All right, well, one of the rumors, well, it's not a rumor, it was fact, of the visit, and let's dive right into it. We talked a lot about running backs the last time you were on, so we're not going to dive as deep into the running backs this time, but the polarizing figure, the guy that everyone's trying to figure out, is he just a bad guy, or did he make a horrifically bad mistake, is Joe Mixon, and it came out on Friday afternoon that he did visit the Bucks at one point this week. I trust Jason Light. I know you trust Jason Light. Jason Light has taken a chance on character guys over the last few years. I mean, really going back to his days in Arizona, where he was part of that front office that took Tyrann Mathieu. Then he took Jameis Winston with the rape allegations, number one overall. He took Noah Spence last year. If I trust anyone in vetting a player, I trust Jason Light.
Yeah, I do. And I think that, you know, it's not surprising to see the Bucs or really any team doing their due diligence on Mixon. I think teams will either be very interested in him because of his talent and want to know as much as possible about him as a person and about, you know, his character, or they just completely have him off the board and they're not interested at all and they won't, you know, waste any time on it. So either way, it doesn't really surprise me. I think honestly the Bucks would have to, I don't think the Bucks would necessarily consider him at 19. Mm-hmm. I think that if he's on the board in the second round, it might be a debate, but I don't think he makes it that far, to be honest. I think that somewhere, if he's still on the board in the early second round, I think somebody takes him in that range, whether they move up or it's somebody that's already there. It's interesting. At least it's going to spark a huge debate, you know, among the Bucks fans, whether they should even be interested or not. So it makes for good conversation, but again, I don't think he ends up being a Buccaneer.
It's the, to me, it's clearly the number one need for the Buccaneers. And I know people say you can get running backs everywhere, and the facts are you can. But we've also seen a lot of running backs fail over the years, first round picks to seventh round picks. So for the Bucs, they have to make sure that they make the right selection. No matter who they draft, should that running back they draft be paired, in your opinion, with Adrian Peterson, or should they just focus on the young back?
I think it's going to come down to, I don't even know at this point, I can't remember what the algorithm is for figuring out the comp picks in the future, but I think that may play into whether or not Adrian Peterson finds a home for the money he's looking for. I don't know how that balances out with losing Glennon and what, you know, who they signed and all that. I don't know if that'll play into the Bucs decision, but I mean, for the right price, I'm not opposed to Adrian Peterson. Do you want a younger guy to get those snaps instead? I don't know, but recognizable name, a guy that's going to be in the Hall of Fame when he's done. You know, there's definitely advantages to that. It's just going to be, you know, who's on the board. Who's on the board? Do you like that situation better than Charles Sims? Are you confident in him to be healthy and even as a change of pace back to whoever you bring in? You know, is Doug Martin going to have a future after that suspension is up? There's still a lot of question marks around that position. And I think until Adrian Peterson signs somewhere, he's going to be in that conversation.
I'm not talking about Adrian Peterson per se, But with running back, and I know the last time you were on, we talked a lot about the individual running backs, but with running back being such a pressing need and a running back potentially helping out Jameis Winston maybe more than any other position, just having that threat opens up play action, getting a run game is going to help Jameis Winston and help alleviate maybe the pass rush that could come down on him. I just think there's a lot of factors that a running back could really help your young quarterback take that next big step next year. With that being said, do the Bucs need to get one of these dynamic backs in the draft, or can they sit there and maybe wait to the third round and say, all right, Kareem Hunt, maybe you're not in the upper echelon of maybe some of these other running backs, but you're good enough for us. I mean, where do the Bucs lie in terms of this being their biggest need? Do they need that dynamic back?
You know, I think it's all going to come down to what else is there at 19. My position on this draft has always been, from the Bucs' perspective, I expect there to be too much talent on defense available at that pick to be able to take a running back that's likely to be on the board at that point, whether it's honestly a McCaffrey, even a Dalvin Cook in that situation. I just think that at corner, at safety, at defensive end, there's going to be a player, maybe even receiver if you go offense, that can make a bigger impact and get you better value versus what you could get at that position later compared to a running back. So I think you mentioned Kareem Hunt specifically. I think if they get him in the third round, it'd be a steal. He's the number four back on my board. So I think he's more closer to that upper echelon, that upper tier than most people do maybe. But there's just so many backs in this draft that I feel like the value at the defense, at those defensive positions, which again, they need potential starters and quality depth at those positions still. And I feel like if you could match a Kareem Hunt in the third round with a very talented pass rusher or an immediate starter at corner or safety, at 19, I think that's probably their better bet.
You mentioned defensive end and safety. Safety maybe being slightly more pressing for the Bucs right now. They do have Will Golston, who they just signed. They have Robert Ayers for another year under contract, and obviously Noah Spence from last year. They could use another body there to develop and maybe become a bookend with Noah Spence moving forward. But at safety, we've heard all these names being bantered about. I know you and I talked about Jabril Peppers. I still think that it wouldn't surprise me one bit. My mock draft Monday, this past Monday, I actually had the Bucs taking Peppers with the 19th pick. Not because I want him to be the pick at 19, but because I think he fits the mold of the type of character guy that Jason Light wants. Not that he's this saint, but that he's, you know, leader, passionate about the game, good tackler, back there at safety, I fitting a position of need, seemed to make sense. Safety all around makes sense for the Buccaneers. So Peppers, other names that could be there at safety at 19, and then maybe some names second, third round, because I do think that they'll try and address safety earlier on in this draft.
Yeah, I agree, and I think a lot of those same qualities that you talked about applying to Peppers apply to a guy that I really like at number 19, which is Buda Baker from Washington. Jason Light's shown that he's not averse to taking smaller defensive backs, and Baker's a guy that can play center field over the top. He can play in the box. He can play in the slot as a nickel guy if you need him to. Great blitzer, just a very intelligent player with great instincts and can get to the ball. Plays a lot bigger than he is. I always say if he's 5'10", 190 pounds, he sure as hell doesn't know it because he doesn't play that way. So I think he would be one of my top choices, if not the top choice at safety there. I know OB and Melifonwu will be in that conversation. I just worry too much about him being the workout warrior type because his film is kind of inconsistent. You see the flashes of athleticism, but he's similar to Peppers in that you don't always see that athletic ability translate to actual football skill all the time, and you just, it's hard to project that at the next level. So Baker would be my preference there if they go safety at 19. If you get into day two, I mean, again, another deep, deep class at safety. So you're talking Marcus Williams from Utah, if you want a center field guy, Marcus May from Florida and Eddie Jackson from Alabama are two guys that suffered injuries and missed a good chunk of the end of last season. But if you go back to when they were healthy throughout their careers, very, very big time playmakers in the SEC that I think could be huge values if teams, kind of forget about them, push them to the back burner because of those injuries. And the recency bias might play against them in that way. But the Bucks should keep an eye on guys like that. Justin Evans from Texas A&M is also in that conversation. So a lot of day two safeties. Desmond King is a guy you know I've liked for a while. I prefer him at safety as opposed to corner. But he's a guy that can come in the box and play slot too. So, this class is the deepest, most talented defensive back class I've seen in a long, long time, maybe ever since I started doing this. So the Bucs are going to have plenty of options in the first three rounds to address either corner or safety.
All right, so you mentioned corner a couple of times. They're moving Ryan Smith back to corner. You got Vernon Hargreaves from last year. Brent Grimes still under contract. Judaje Burima is coming back. He can play the slot. And Elliott played the slot last year and played pretty well during that five-game winning streak that the Buccaneers had in November and early December. So with that said, in your opinion, do the Bucs need a corner, and do they need one early?
I think it's all about where the value is. I think if they get a chance at a guy who can be the outside replacement for Brent Grimes, maybe after this season, if he starts to slow down, I think you have to pull the trigger on that guy. So it's all going to be about how the board falls. If there's a run early on running backs and receivers and those guys are gone, and maybe some of the pass rushers come off the board. There's always the fact that the Bucs could trade down from that pick. And if a team moving up, whether it's for an offensive tackle or one of the quarterbacks slips or anything like that, I think Jason Light might be particularly interested in moving down another day two pick, even late in the third round, one of those comp picks that can now be traded. So, there's so many variables that go into that. And I think if the right guy was there at corner, and there's a lot of first round type guys, Gerrion Conley from Ohio State, Marlon Humphrey from Alabama, Fabian Moreau, even with his injury from UCLA, Chidobe Awuzie from Colorado, Tankersley from Clemson. I mean, there's so many corners in this draft that could be in that first round conversation. If the Bucks maybe move around, I think if the right guy's there, it can make an impact. Adoree Jackson is going to be an interesting guy to project, because he's similar to Peppers in that he's kind of just an elite athlete who wasn't quite a developed defender, but an amazing kick returner, might even be better on offense. I just wrote earlier tonight at DraftWire about why Peppers and Adoree Jackson should play offense in the NFL, and put some highlights on there for people to see what they're like with the ball in their hands. So, but I think that both of those players can be good defenders at the next level if they develop. Adoree Jackson's a guy in particular that I think Jason Light might like to put the ball in his hands every now and then. So, there's just so many names. It's going to be interesting to see how the first 18 picks fall and what ends up falling into the Bucks' lap and how that affects their decision.
Luke Easterling, thedraftwire.com. Check him out and check out all of his draft knowledge, especially if you're a Bucks fan, because he's a Bucks fan at heart. We all know it. He's a national guy, right? But he's Tampa, okay? Luke, let's talk.
I'm a stick carrier, baby. I got mine.
Oh, boy. He's got his stick, and he's carrying it. Luke, before I let you run, let's rank the top five players most likely to be selected by the Buccaneers with the 19th pick. We'll just say for now, this could be a fun draft for Jason Light, because there is a lot of depth, and I feel like Jason Light likes to get creative, so we could see the Bucks very active in moving up or down in any round, especially early on, day one, day two. But let's just say, for shits and giggles, this, and I never understood that saying anyway, why would somebody shit and giggle, but we're just going to say for shits and giggles here, let's say the Bucks stay at 19. Let's rank the top five most likely candidates for the Bucks. Should we start at five and work our way up to number one?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. All right. The fifth most likely player the Bucks could select with the 19th pick.
Fifth most likely. I'll go Obi Melifonwu. I think that the athleticism, it could be enough to entice Jason Light. Mike Smith may want to get his hands on some athletic tools in that way. And I think that he could be worth a top 20 pick. It's tough to turn away from a 6'4", 220 guy who can run 4'4 flat and be as fluid as he is in coverage. So I wouldn't be opposed to it and wouldn't be surprised.
It is intriguing. I'm having a tough time wrapping my brain around that one. I don't think Jason Light has selected somebody quite like that, that workout-type warrior, because, again, I never saw it translate to the field. Mm-hmm. And usually Jason Light reverts back to the film. You always say that. You revert back to the film. And I don't know. I don't know. But it's the fifth most likely player. So who's number four?
Number four, I'm going to say if there's a pass rusher that ends up falling there that I think would fit the mold of a Jason Light guy, I think it's Derek Barnett from Tennessee. I think as we get closer to the draft, people fall in love with the elite athletic types. And in this draft, there's going to be some of those pass rushers that kind of jump ahead of a guy like Barnett, who's not the flashiest guy in the world, but, I mean, he was the most productive pass rusher in college football over the last 3 years. Had over 52 tackles for loss, I think, in three seasons, 39 career games. And just has that fight, that dog in him, that leadership. I mean, he couldn't keep fluids down 24 hours before his combine workout and did it anyway. Had a hamstring injury, fought through to play in his pro day. Hard-nosed, high-motor type guy that I think Light would like. But I think that lack of, like, elite explosiveness and athleticism might slide him down the board a little bit. He's a top 15 guy to me, but if he's there at 19, I think he could make sense.
Noah Spence didn't have the elite explosiveness, at least in terms of numbers, last year, and the Bucks took him. And, you know, I think when you look at Barnett, I believe that's a guy that the Bucks have met with. I believe he's come here and visited the Bucks. A possibility if they are looking at defensive end. So 5-4, now number three.
Number three, I'm going to go with Corey Davis from Western Michigan, the wide receiver. I don't think John Ross makes it out of the top 15, maybe even the top 10.
Damn it.
I think if there is a top receiver that could fall that far, it's going to be Davis because of the ankle surgery. It's kept him out of all the pre-draft workouts. I think that if he is there, I think he'd be an absolute steal. He is the number one receiver in this draft to me. I think people have kind of forgotten about him because they haven't seen his name as much. But if he's there, I think he'd be a steal.
I think that would be a guy who can play on the outside. You can groom him behind DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson can move inside to slot in certain situations. You also have Adam Humphries who can play slot. I mean, a lot of variations to where Corey Davis doesn't have to step in right away and become that go-to guy. And I think that that benefits. Hey, the Bucks are in a much different place right now than they were a couple years ago when they needed these rookies to step in and play a very significant role early on. They don't need any rookie to step in and play a significant role early on. They can ease them in to any role, whether it's a safety, a wide receiver. Well, running back's a little different, but all right, let's get to number two.
Number two, I'm going to kind of package together two and one because I think they're 1A and 1B if they're on the board, and I think they will be. Number 1A, 1B is going to be Dalvin Cook and David Njoku. I think either of these guys could be on the board. I think the shoulder surgery issues maybe with or concerns with Cook could drop him a little bit. Didn't have a great combine workout, so that won't help him. I think McCaffrey and Fournette will come off the board before him, and I think it's a very good chance he could be on the board for the Bucks there, and I think if he is, underestimate the pull that Jameis Winston may have in trying to at least give them a behind-the-scenes look at the type of guy he is and the type of player he is. I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen if he's on the board. I don't think O.J. Howard has any chance of making it to 19, but I do think the Bucks could be very, very interested in Njoku if they want that rare athlete, matchup nightmare type tight end to give Jameis Winston just another weapon. Again, you don't always have to have an outside receiver to do it. If you pair him with Cameron Brate, now you've got Evans and Jackson on the outside and those two tight sets with those guys, I would not be surprised to see them pull the trigger on that because that would make that offense ridiculous if he's on the board. It may take him a little while. He's just more of a raw athlete than a refined player at this point, but you see the flashes in his limited action. I mean, he's just really hard for any defensive back or any linebacker to hang with him, depending on how he sets him up.
And again, another guy that doesn't have to come in and play a significant role early on because you do have Cameron Brate, and it's not a knock on Brate. The Bucks do like a lot of two tight end sets, but maybe just a guy with so much raw talent and athleticism that if you ease him in and develop him the right way, he could become a dominant force with your young offense, Jameis Winston, Mike Evans, a young running back. Now all of a sudden you're just putting a young nucleus on offense that's going to be together for the, by the way, a young offensive line as well. Final question for you. If Dalvin Cook is on the board and the Bucks are on the clock, how surprised would you be if they did not select him, no matter who else was on the board?
I wouldn't be surprised at all. I think it's 50-50 for me. I wouldn't be surprised if they took him. Wouldn't be surprised if they went elsewhere, again, especially if there's a guy like Njoku as a weapon on offense, or if there's a defender that maybe they viewed as maybe a top 15 guy that falls because of the quarterbacks or what have you going ahead. I really won't be surprised either way. I know that's my thing with the draft. I've learned not to be surprised at anything, but this one in particular, I think it's pretty half and half.
I think there's going to be a lot of Bucs fans disappointed if Dalvin Cook is on the board and he ends up not being the pick by the Bucs. I don't know. It just, you seem like the stars.
We say this every year. The minute you get locked into a guy, the minute your draft is ruined.
If it's
one guy or the field, the odds are just against you.
And Jason Light doesn't seem to get locked into one guy. I know I'm not locked into one guy. I'm wide open. I thought it was interesting, though, in your top five players, you did not have Buda Baker.
You know, I don't know if they're going to see him as a top 20 type of player with some of the other guys that are on the board and some of the offensive needs that they have if those guys are on the board. I think he probably comes in at 6. And if I did the list again, I might put him at 5 instead of Melifonwu. I just think that maybe if they like Melifonwu, they may think they have to take him earlier because of the athleticism. Maybe they feel like they can get Baker in the second if they sure. take an offensive weapon at 19.
Love it. Love the insight and love his site, thedraftwire.com. You also do a podcast, don't you?
Not anymore, actually. I backed off the podcast because they were putting it out 5 nights a week, and man, I just couldn't keep up. Couldn't keep up. Got too many other irons in the fire, but my buddy John is keeping the Locked On NFL Draft podcast rolling. Ugh. I'm sure I'll have one down the line, but 5 nights a week, man. Couldn't hang with it.
God bless people that listen. 3 nights a week is a little too much for me, but hey, the stick carriers love it, so I just try to give it to them. You know what I mean? If they're going to carry their stick for me, I'm going to give them the stick right back. Oh, God. Luke, it's draft season. And,
We got 3 weeks, man. We got a lot of work to do.
We do have a lot of work to do, and boy, I'll tell you, I just sit here and continue to think about what the Bucs could do, and they could just go in any direction, and honestly, I would not be surprised one bit. Looking forward to it, thedraftwire.com. Luke Easterling will be on next week and every week leading up to the draft. Thanks, Luke.
Anytime, brother.
Good job. Thank you. All right, see you later. Luke Easterling.
I'm sure that you have heard the name Aldolfo. A ladies' man who wins a claim, Aldolfo. Well, lovely miss, I am the same Aldolfo. I introduce myself, I am Aldolfo.
What's going on, Justin? What's going on, Commissionator? It's Dolfo from Fort Lauderdale chiming in. Hey, man, I just wanted to speak on the Joe Mixon situation, just to get the pulse of the fans, I guess. Listen, how I personally feel about it is, It's rough for me to want to root for a guy who I saw punch out a female like that. I don't understand how the desire to want a guy like that on the team. I understand if the team drafts him, like, you know, they draft him. That's who they felt was necessary. They did their vetting. But as far as like, oh, man, I hope that we get this guy who punched out that female like that. I can't see it like that. That's just my take on it. I hope that they don't get him. I hope that he's not on our team personally. And if they do, hey, I just got to suck it up. But I don't want to be cheering for a guy. Oh, that's that guy that scored the touchdown. He's the one that punched out that female. That just don't sound right to me. But anyways, man, I'm with you on John Ross. If he's there, I hope they jump on him. If not, Njoku sounds like a great decision with that tight end spot. And, yeah, man, I'm hoping these Bucks make these playoffs. In fact, I know they will. I know they're going to make the playoffs. And we pushing for the Super Bowl, baby. They're my Super Bowl pick right now. They better be y'all Super Bowl pick. Let's go, Buccaneers. Fire them cannons. Thank you, Joe Bucks fans, for this podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Commish. I love my Bucks. I love my Bucks fans. Go, Bucks, and fire them cannons.
I am.
Nice way to transition into some Bucks takes with Aldolfo. Thanks to Luke Easterling for joining us to talk about the draft, which is just 3 weeks away. I don't know which I'm more excited about, the draft and seeing these new players added to the Bucks roster, or partying my ass off with each of you. See, I'm in the middle of a kind of a cleanse, and it's a kind of a cleanse diet where I eat very strict, and I don't drink, and I don't do anything, and I've been doing it on and off for the past 9 or 10 months, and it's really been a reason that I've lost so much weight. And yeah, so I go 6 weeks without drinking. So you could say that I'm halfway through and very much looking forward to that draft party coming up. Yes, Joe Mixon met with the Buccaneers this week. So I'm sorry. I mean, I trust Jason Light. I mean, he has taken chances on players with quote-unquote troubled pass. And guess what? They have Jameis Winston, Noah Spence, Tyrann Mathieu. I mean, he's taken some pretty good risks there. Joe Mixon is the most talented running back in the draft. And even though I just read a story at JoeBucksFan.com, and they said if he's so talented, why did he split time with Pirine there at Oklahoma? Well, Pirine's a damn good running back, too. It's the reason he's going to be a draft pick. You know, and it's you can't really say that because, you know, Marlon Mack split carries at USF. Dalvin Cook shared carries, not all the carries, but shared carries at Florida State. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you start to look at some of these running backs, and don't you want a running back that shared carries in college? I mean, that would be me. I don't want a lot of wear and tear on those tires. I want a lot of tread on those tires. And, you know, when it comes to Joe Mixon on the field, I'm not going to question him splitting carries. I'm going to question him trying to split a girl's face open. That's the problem. That's the issue. And that's something that Jason Light has to do, him and his staff have to figure out whether or not it's going to work or it's not going to work. Is he a bad guy or did he make a horrifically bad mistake? I will say one thing. We've got a lot of Bucks takes that are going to be talking about Joe Mixon, and I'll probably repeat this through the podcast. I don't care what you say right now. If Joe Mixon comes to the Bucks and becomes an elite running back, or comes to the Bucks and helps them win a bunch of games and scores a bunch of touchdowns, you'll all be cheering for him. Sorry. I mean, the truth hurts, but you'll all be cheering for him. That's what happens. Oh, we've got a bunch of them. We got a lot of people. Everyone's all fired up. So let's go to Outlaw. We haven't had him on in a while.
Justin! Outlaw. Hey, buddy. Hey, man. These podcasts are getting long, dude. I'm like getting behind. I got a 20-minute drive to work, 20-minute drive to home, hour and 40 minutes. You know, if you start doing, I mean, I'm feeling the pressure of catching up, man. I'm going to have to get a job farther away from the house just so I can keep up with y'all. Dude, I love it. Hey, man. Curtis Samuel. That dude had a good point. Look him up. Dude's versatile, got good hands, running, he's fast, so I like that idea. Hey, I laughed my ass off on your Gene Dekaroff impersonation, man. I love Gene, been voice of the Bucks for a long time, but yeah, sometimes you're like, what in the hell are you looking at? Fire the cannons. The Buccaneers draw first blood. Anyway, hey, one more thing, man. You guys in your stick carriers and all your shirts matching, I'm probably going to be one of them, so it's all good, man. But we, you know what we really need to do? Big MF and stick carriers, you guys need to come up with, like, one of them blow-up sticks, okay? So we have an actual stick to hold on to, okay? You know, like, the ones that they have at the Thunderdome, whatever that freaking place is called now, Amalie Arena. Oh. You know, they pound together and it makes a loud nice thundering noise. Let's, like that, something you can blow up. It's got, like, little knobs on the end. Yeah. Little knobs on the end. Man, okay. This is getting ridiculous. Really? But we need to have something we can carry around. Maybe something we can deflate, put in our pockets, and carry into the stadium, blow up, and look really cool. All right, Justin, man. Go Bucks. I love this show. I love the podcast. Keep it up. Going to get Bricados this weekend, sports legends, and at the draft party. Have a good weekend, man. As always, speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick. Crushed it.
All right. You know what? I like you, Outlaw. You're fun. You love the podcast. You contribute. You're passionate. You're at the commission's table. How many do I have? Jeez. Hold on a second. Let me make sure. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Ooh, I got to check and make sure I have enough gift cards. All right, so that's 10. I don't know. I don't know how many I have left. Whatever. We're all going to just go and have fun, aren't we? But I'll get Outlaw at the table because I already said so. Thanks, Outlaw. And yes, I have thought about the Thundersticks, and I have passed that along to Big MFN Stick on Twitter. So follow him, and you know, maybe he's got some words of wisdom for you, much like Joe in Zephyr Hills.
Justin, Joe Zephyr Hills, love the podcast. Been a huge fan for a long time.
Don't say anything.
I just wanted to hit this buck to take real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
Lumping the hat in with a couple of the guys here who are all about Joe Mixon. I know it's he's done some stupid shit, made a mistake, but fuck, dude, if he can hit the hole half as good as he hit that girl in the face, we're talking about touchdown city, man, breaking fucking runs all day. Love it, man. Let me know what you think.
Well, what? So I don't know if I've ever been offended in my entire life. Words just don't get offended by what people say. But I'm pretty sure somebody just got offended by what you just said, Joe. So thanks for that. Yeah, I don't really need to comment on that. I'll just let the stick carriers react. React on Twitter and Facebook and all that fun stuff. David's in Clearwater.
Hey, what's going on, Justin? David from Clearwater. Just sitting here listening to your podcast, and you know, I hear you're a John Ross fan, and I think that'll be a great pickup for the Buccaneers to infuse him into the offense. And then I'm sitting here thinking, like, okay, what if the Bucs did draft John Ross in the first, and then add Joe Mixon in the second, and sign free agent Adrian Peterson? Holy shit. Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, John Ross, Adrian Peterson, Joe Mixon in your offense. That, I mean, fuck. That, like, I'm just picturing it in my head, like, what are you supposed to do? And I didn't even mention Cam Brate. I didn't even mention Charles Sims, Twinkle Toes, Charles Sims, which I think he should be better utilized as a wide receiver, coming out of the backfield. So you can line him up in the backfield and have him run pass routes out of the backfield. Just utilize his skills. As a runner, fuck that. As a receiver, I think he can be valuable. But having that offense and all those different type of players, holy shit. Speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick. Holla at your boy.
All right, Dave. Appreciate it. And thanks for coming on the Bucks Uncensored podcast. I am a John Ross fan. Luke really disappointed me, though. So now that he doesn't think John Ross makes it out of the top 10 or top 15. Damn it. Corey Davis is interesting, but boy, you just can't teach that speed. I mean, you just can't teach it. You can't develop it. It's not going to happen. Man, wish there was a hashtag for how fast he was. Maybe this guy's had it or got it or is going to share it. It's hashtag Mark.
Hey, Justin, it's Mark from Venice, giving it another go at a Bucks take. Again, got so much love for all you stick carriers, and this show is the best podcast in the game today, no doubt. Hashtag love that shit. I was really enjoying you taking apart Rick Stroud regarding Adrian Peterson, calling him out for fake news. Hashtag That's bullshit. And also, you were talking about the HBO Hard Knocks. And I know it would be great for this podcast because, you know, it would provide endless material and it would be fun to watch. I can't lie about that. But my simple question is, how does it help us win? It doesn't. Hashtag fuck that shit. I also wanted to mention the upcoming NFL draft. You know, we're in a great spot in the 19 hole. We don't have any really, really burning needs. I know running back, but we can get that later. But we're in that spot where when a guy who's really talented, top five type pick, gets busted for like a picture of him with a gas mask smoking weed, or, you know, LSU safety this year, Jamal Adams, somehow has a video come out of him farting into his hand, and, you know, when he cups it over his butt and then he serves it into the face of an elderly woman, you know, that's when we strike and we get the guy who falls to us that's supremely talented. Hashtag wait on that shit. And I also wanted to mention that I'm taking off both days of work for the draft party at Sports Legends. It's going to be awesome. I'm bringing my boy Kenny the Kilt, and it's going to be lit. Hashtag drink that shit. And it wouldn't be a good take if I didn't call out Tom Jones, who's always victimizing himself and everybody else to try to hurt our local athletes. So you can hashtag eat my shit. And I just wanted to say, you know what size stick I'm carrying. You know how I'm speaking. Hashtag nailed that shit.
All right. Hashtag Mark. Thanks, Mark, for all those hashtags. Nailed it. Hashtag nailed it. We go from apparently I don't remember ever saying that about Rick Stroud. I believe that was everyone else that sent in a Bucks take. All I said was I was just having a tough time believing the actions of Bucks players, management, and whatnot, and what was being reported. It doesn't say, I didn't say it wasn't true. It just didn't match up for me. Aaron's in North Dakota. Hey, Aaron.
Commish, Aaron from North Dakota. I've got a question for you. Have you seen the latest Tom Jones article? This one is about Joe Mixon. I just Googled Mixon's name and up comes Tom Jones' article about him. And its caption, drafting Joe Mixon. Hey, Bucks, don't even think about it. Now, I really could give two shits what Tom Jones says, especially after his bullshit article about Jameis Winston at the elementary school. Now, I don't condone at all about what Mixon did, but have people forgotten about Ray Rice? I mean, the guy literally hit his then-fiance, now-wife, plain as day in front of an elevator camera and was basically blackballed from the league since. And this guy has done nothing but show empathy, contrition, and sensitivity towards the subject, and has even gone out of his way to do charitable things for women that have suffered from domestic violence. Who's to say that Joe Mixon hasn't done any of that? We don't know what he's done since then, besides have one minor traffic incident from what I've been told. All I know is Jason Light will do his due diligence, he'll do his research, he'll do all of the homework that he needs to decide if Mixon is a bad guy or just made a bad decision. Now, speak softly, carry that big motherfucking stick, and fuck you, Tom Jones.
Oh, boy. People hating on the newspaper. I'll be honest, I haven't read a newspaper in maybe a decade, and I stopped reading online about 5 years ago. And yes, I was still on the radio. It's just, I don't know, it's just not for me. It's not my type of writing. It's not for everyone. So you read what you want. If you don't want to read it, then don't read it. I don't give a shit what you do. We got a couple of guys from Vegas. Man, I'll tell you this. I think the Bucks are going to face the Raiders in Vegas. I want to say it was 2020, and I want to be there bad. Maybe I'll just stay at Craig's house.
Hey, Kamish, Craig in Vegas. What's going on? Yes, I've been listening, but damn, fucking so busy with work, the family. Sometimes it's hard to get my takes in. Just got done with the gym here. I get some funny looks when I start singing Phil Collins or Scream 9 and 7, or the sweating continues, the looks I get around the gym. But it's okay because the podcast gets me going. First of all, any West Coast Bucks fans, I know there's, we cannot all make it to the draft party. But let you know there is one in Vegas. We've got about 30 to 40 people already RSVP'd. Coming from New Mexico, Cali, Arizona, Colorado, all over the West Coast. So the Buckaholics out West do have a room reserved downtown Las Vegas for the draft party. So stick cares in the West Coast. You can't make it out to Tampa, Clearwater, to the Sports Legends. We got you covered here in Vegas. Check out the Buckaholics Facebook page. All the details are there. I'm going to change it up a little bit different on the draft thing. I hear a lot of the running back, and I get it, the tight end and all that. But listen, I still see cornerback as a need. And it seems that either Tabor or Quincy Wilson may drop down to that 19 slot. I think if Quincy Wilson's there at 19, you got to draft him. You don't get many chances to have a big corner with that kind of speed. Brent Grimes won't be there forever. We've got big receivers in our conference that we have to cover. And right now, we're having a little bit of trouble covering some of those big guys. That's just my take. I know I may be way off base, but I still say if you get a chance to get a 6'1 corner with 4'5 or 4'5.5 speed, that's something you got to fucking take. Love the podcast. Keep it going. Love all the takes. Love everybody out there. Speak softly. And carry that big motherfucking stick. Recreational July 1 in Vegas. Bye-bye.
Ooh, okay. I have to come for that. Craig, thanks. And, yeah, I like it. I like the Bucks take on the corners. We did talk about corners with Luke earlier. Luke kind of alluded to this, and I'm going to kind of compound on it. I think what any team does in the draft tells you how they kind of view their team, right? Will the Bucks draft a corner? It's possible. I mean, Brent Grimes is in the final year of his contract, and he's nearing his mid-30s now. I'm there as well. I think when you look at corner, though, they're moving Ryan Smith back to corner. I know Lee from Joe Bucks Fan has told this story numerous times everywhere, that somebody told him that Ryan Smith, down the stretch last year during practice, nobody covered Mike Evans as well as he did. Now, again, it was practice, so what does that mean? But they're moving Ryan Smith back to corner again for a reason. Now, if they draft a corner, I think that tells you where they see Ryan Smith moving forward. Maybe it's not developing into a starter. But they could very well just pass on a corner and say, hey, look at what we've got. Brent Grimes, Vernon Hargraves, Ajay Bareem is back. You look at Ryan Smith on the outside. Josh Robinson they brought back. Elliott, who played in the slot. I mean, they got some okay depth. Wouldn't say it's the best ever, but I think they feel pretty good about their corners, to be quite honest. I just don't know if going corner in the first round is an avenue they want to take when pass rusher or safety are likely bigger needs on the defense than corner is. So I'll leave it at that. But we go from one Vegas to another Vegas. How come anytime somebody from Vegas sends in a Bucks take, I just imagine them in a hotel room there. Like, that's where they live. They just live in a hotel. They don't live in a house. Come on, Matt.
What's up, Kamish? This is Matt calling in from Las Vegas, Nevada. First-time caller. Been listening for the past couple months to the Bucks Uncensored podcast. Just wanted to give my take on the Bucks. I think for the draft, I see that Joe Mixon came in for a visit. You know what? Take a shot on him. Why not? And if Doug Martin has to be the casualty, why not? Anyways, I think it'll be a great fit. Second round, why not? anyways. And also, speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick.
Okay. That's good. We got a lot of Bucks fans that love the Bucks. We got a lot of Bucks fans that just flat out hate the division. You know what I'm
fuck,
saying?
Fuck, fuck, fuck. Mother, mother, fuck. Mother, mother, fuck, fuck. Mother, fuck, mother, fuck. Noise, noise, noise. One, two, one, two, three. Cam Newton sucks big sweaty balls.
Okay.
Hey, Commish, Dave from Belfast. Just getting caught up in Monday's podcast there. Suds fucking can. Jesus Christ, that boy fucking nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. Great impression. Absolutely loved it. On the AP thing, I think the Bucks should just pull the trigger. You know, it's high risk. You know, he might not play, whatever, whatever. But if we can get a running back in the first, second round, a good, good 1-2 punch where he's not playing every fucking down, then I am all for it. As you say, it's not our fucking money. Who cares? It is not our money. We've still got money there to sign Mike Evans stuff when the time comes. And AP's not going to come here in a 4 or 5 year fucking deal. I don't even think he'd come in a 3 year deal. It's going to be 2 year max. And, you know, it's high risk, but it's high fucking reward. Definitely high reward. I think I seen DJ's draft today. He had us, or maybe yesterday, he had us taking Cam Robinson out of Alabama, the O-lineman. I wouldn't be against that. You know, you seen what the Cowboys did, stacking up in the first round picks, taking O-lineman, and look at their O-line now. Absolutely brilliant. So I think it's definitely something to look at, but I wouldn't be against. There's a lot of good players in that first, second, third round. You're going to get a couple of playmakers. So, yeah, I'm all for it. I'm all for AP. So, yeah, thanks. And Suz Khan, you fucking nailed it, man. Nailed it. Peace out.
We had a Bucks take earlier on, and the person was asking, I think it was Outlaw. Outlaw was saying, man, these podcasts are getting so long, and you know, I got a 20-minute drive to work, 20 minutes home, I'm trying to keep up. Well, first off, I have an hour to drive to work and then an hour home each day. So that's a little bit different story. So I can listen to it just fine. And honestly, Pompous, it's all about me. No, I'm just kidding. But the reason the podcasts have gotten so long is I'm trying to fit in as many Bucks takes as I can. And quite frankly, I'm there's a lot of people being left off. So just bear with it. Listen to it. I don't mind them being this loud or loud. Speaking of loud, we'll have Lou next. I don't mind them being this long, because it's not, you know, you want to sit down, you want to listen to the whole thing through, but you can pause it and then pick it up at any point. We're constantly talking about different topics, different Bucks takes coming in. You had Luke's interview. So that's, to me, the perspective I would take with these podcasts is it's not live radio. You don't have to listen to it right now. And then if you don't, you just missed it and you're fucked. No, you pause it and listen to it whenever you want. I mean, that's kind of how I listen throughout the day. I like going back and listening to all your Bucks takes and just listening to people, listening to that passion about the Bucks, the same passion I have. I think it's good. Now, I don't know if anyone has the passion this guy does.
Justin, Lou, Port Richie. Hey, brother. Hey, have you seen that video with Winston practicing in his backyard, bro? That's crazy. It's crazy, man. He's got like targets set up, man. He's using his dog as a defensive lineman coming after him so he can scramble, man. Dude, man, it was awesome, man. Him and Chris Baker practicing, dude, on his own video. I mean, it's Swaggy's gonna be okay, man. I got a good feeling about that cat, man. I mean, they say he doesn't like to practice, but I think it's just a bunch of smoke that they're blowing up our ass, man. But you know, I don't know, man. But yeah, I think it's gonna be all good, man. I was looking on Joe Buck's fan, man. He's talking about this Lovey project that we might be getting. Kid's name is Carol Phillips from Illinois, played under Lovey, man. You know, I see the cap. Maybe he's a defensive end, could be used as a lineman, a linebacker. But we'll see, man. We'll see, man. That's gonna be like a late pick, man. If anything, man. I also saw that they're talking about possibly signing Luke McCown again, bro. But it's a backup, bro. Like you said, Justin, man. You know, who gives a fuck? about the fucking backup, dude. If that dude's out there, then we're fucked. But but that's about it, brother. Man, dude, it's going to be 20 days to the drop! Born Jay! The drop! Born Jay! Can you feel it, brothers? Brothers, we're going to be pulling up into the parking lot. There's going to be no fucking parking, bro. You're going to have to fucking find a place where they're not going to tow your fucking car. Leo, man, get us some extra parking, brother. Dude, there's going to be fucking lines out the fucking door. Dude, you better get there early. Get in there. Get yourself a fucking good meal, a good fucking base, because the party is on! The party is on, baby! Yeah! They're going to be fucking shaving heads outside in the fucking on the patio, brother. Well, I don't know about shaving heads, bro. And you bastards don't get no fucking ideas. Just the flag, brother. Just the flag. I don't know. I got to make an executive decision about that, bro. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see, brother. But I don't know if I'm going to be in the right state of mind or any one of you guys either. But it's going to be awesome. It's going to be on, baby. It's going to be fucking insane. Woo! All right, fellas. Oh, let me wrap this up. Let me wrap this up. Draft Party 2017. Bucks Uncensored, man. Dude, I love those t-shirts that he came up with, man, for the draft party. Dude, it's going to be a fucking party. But, let me wrap it up. Before, Brocados, Sports Legends. I'll see you crazy bastards there. Where we eat like a legend and we're gonna drink like fucking champs. Woo! Headlines Barbershop. We'll see Christian at the barber at the barber chair. Oh man, it's gonna be fucking insane, man. But go see him, bro. Go see him. Ira's podcast, the Joe Buck fan. Dude, let's fucking do this. Anyway, speak softly. And carry the big motherfucking stick!
Yes, that's right, Lou. Everyone is fired. I was just imagining in my head just what that night is going to be like the first night and then doing it all again the second night. And I'm telling you right now, none of you better puss out, okay? If you're coming to the first night, don't drink so much that you just don't feel. If you just don't feel like drinking the second night, you still need to come, okay? They got amazing food. You drink some water. You can be the designated driver the second night. But I'm going to tell you this right now. B4 is going to allow me to double dip. Two nights in a row going crazy. Like Scott, Pennsylvania.
Justin, Scott from up here in Pennsylvania. Counting the days to the draft party. Can't wait to get down there to Tampa and hang out with the stick carriers. Hey, and another thing I wanted to let you know is I gave a little national attention to the Bucks Uncensored community on Sunday when I called into the NFL radio network. And didn't want to use the term stick carrier because we're still trying to get Adrian Peterson here. And I didn't want to create any controversy by mentioning stick carrier, if you know what I mean. And on another note, for anybody that's questioning Ali Marpet's versatility, here's a really tough question from Nate Burleson.
What is it like playing with Madden, playing Madden and playing with yourself? I don't know, it's a little surreal.
So there you go. That speaks to Ali Marpet's versatility. He'll have no problem moving over to center. Hey, again, I'm excited about getting down to Tampa. Hitting the draft party at Sports Legends, Brocados, and great to hear B4 is going to be there too. And speak softly and carry a big stick and also fire the cannons.
Yes, Scott will be there. Looking forward to meeting you, Scott. And having some, you know, B4 is going to be there. My man Christian is going to be there.
Commish, what's up? Christian Perez back at you with another Bucks take, bro. Before I start, man, I just want to send a huge shout out to Doug. I appreciate you going to come get cleaned up, get a fresh fade with me before the draft party. To all the stick carriers out there and everybody listening, make sure you download the Headlines Barbershop app. Not hairlines, like newspaper headlines. Headlines Barbershop app. You can make an appointment right through your phone at any of our 6 locations. Plug over. Justin. Listen, man, I heard the last show, bro, and I'm telling you, man, I haven't been able to sit still, bro. I haven't been able to sit still with the idea dancing in my head of John Ross and Joe Mixon on this team along with Adrian Peterson. Woo! My goodness, that'd be... Let me calm down. Let me breathe. Let me breathe. Okay, I'm good. Listen, to all everybody out there, like Justin said, it's been confirmed. We will have a barber chair out there. We're going to be putting big motherfucking stick carrier logos on the back of people's heads and Bucks flags, man. Who's ready? Who's ready to step up? Hit me up on Twitter, at Headlines Barber. Hit me up on Twitter. Let me know if you want to get that shaved in your head. Anyways, man, everything else is good. Life is good. John Ross and Joe Mixon. Yeah, that's me pretty much dropping the mic. I just dropped the mic with that mock draft. John Ross, Joe Mixon. So speak softly. Headlines Barbershop. Bracados. B4. Sports legends where you drink, you eat like a legend, and you drink like a champ. And speak softly and carry that big motherfucking snake. Woo!
Christian, looking forward to seeing you both nights. It's going to be so awesome. First night, just draft. Lunch at Bracados Friday. Second night starts at 7, I believe. So we get there a little earlier. Have the draft. And then wherever the night takes us on a Friday night. yeah. John Ross and Joe Mixon. Listen, it's probably far-fetched. And the likelihood of that happening is probably minuscule. But it could. That's the exciting part of the draft, right? Anything could happen. And you talk about surrounding Jameis Winston with weapons. Holy shit. Just Luke burst my bubble tonight. I don't think John Ross will make it out of the top 15 pick. Come on, Luke. Come on. Come on. Corey Davis, though. Tanner's up. Hey, Tanner.
Hey, Justin. This is Tanner from Marianna, Florida. I just wanted to point out something, or not point out something, but just ask something to the stick carriers out there and you.
Great question, Justin.
I'm tweeting it out.
I don't understand Polish.
But the sweating continued.
Thanks, Jason.
I love being with you and answering all your tough questions.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great question.
He's going to be still the tallest of an offense that has big, big height on it. Crushed it!
How do you think Jabril Peppers specifying on one position will translate to the next level? Because my first Buck take almost got smacked off the air by Dave. You know, I know the hate's real out there between the stick carriers and Jabril Peppers, but the more the draft gets here, the more tape I've been watching. And I think this guy is really good at three positions. Three. If he specifies on one position, safety, for us Bucks, and we pick him up at 19, I think he could be something special. And I mean, he's really good, and he was practicing three positions. When he practices that one every day, and he's going to be in the film room every day, the guy is a football player. I mean, he loves the game. And I was watching him on, you know, NFL show, and the guy's a class act. So I'm just, why wouldn't we want him if we could get him in one position and keep it on that? So that's my question, Justin. Do you think he will get great at one position? And hopefully that's safety, and hopefully that's for the Bucks. That's it. Speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick.
Tough to say. On Jabril Peppers, I did have the Bucks taking him in the first round of mock draft Monday. And
see,
I really,
the first fucker that comes on here and says they want to take Jabril Peppers, tell them to get the fuck out of here.
That guy is going to be a fucking bust.
Come on. Jeez, I'm just trying to make a point. Focusing on one position, I think, is going to help. I think what else helps is the passion he has for the game, the leadership he has. You know, Jason Light said that a majority of busts in the NFL draft are busts because of what they have from the neck up. Okay, they just don't mentally have it. I think Jabril Peppers, while he might not ever be an elite player, if you're talking about the latter half of the first round, and he can come in and be a starter for long term and be a guy you can rely on defense, then, you know, I think he fits the mold. I really, really do. Size-wise, you know, and Luke said his athleticism and speed don't translate on film, but, you know, the fact of the matter, he has it. So maybe it's a matter of focusing and zeroing in on one position. Maybe. You know, I think it's a valid point. The guy's all over the field, offense, defense. He's returning kicks and punts. You know, maybe if he just solely focused on being a safety, and you can return some kicks and punts as well, but zeroing in and focusing on being a safety, who knows? I mean, that could help. Listen, we're over an hour again for this podcast. You're welcome. That's what we do. We want to provide entertainment that keeps on giving to you. So hopefully you find time to listen to this. We do have some more Bucks takes to get to. We can't really waste any more time, though.
Justin, you said you like pirates. Well, Matt Ryan likes pirate cock.
Okay. Jordan's up. Hey, Jordan.
Justin, it's Jordan out here in Montana. First time calling in. Hopefully I make the cut. Shout out to Precado, sports legends, home of the 2017 NFL Draft Party! Sounds like a fucking blast, but I'm not going to be able to make it. Also, to be four, hope you guys drink that up so you guys can party hard the next day. Anyway, I wanted to get a little mock draft here for you on this Saturday. I know it's not mock draft Monday, but I missed the cut last week, and I figured I'd try to go give you one for the Saturday edition. So in the first round, we're going to trade back. I know you guys are going to lose your fucking minds that we're trading back, but this draft is too fucking deep to not try to trade back and acquire an extra pick between those picks from 30 to 50. So realistically, in my mind, hopefully you can drop back a couple picks and either pick up a late 2 or an early 3. And with that first pick, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select Joe Mixon, running back, University of Oklahoma! Everybody's been hating on Joe Mixon, but they're the same fucking people that smacked their hands on the table for Adrian Peterson. And quote me if I'm wrong, but Adrian Peterson beat his fucking child with a stick. And, I mean, I'm not saying they're the same fucking thing. I know Adrian Peterson was disciplining his child, and that's completely different than dropping the fucking soul out of a woman. But this kid has too much fucking talent. He's a 3-down back. He can run. He sees the field better than any of them. He's a great pass catcher, and he can run between the tackles. I mean, it's the all-around running back. It's what we need is a 3-down running back for Tampa Bay. Now, with our next two picks, if we get 2 seconds, if we get an extra second out of the deal, we still have our second at number 18. We can either keep it like that, draft 2 in the second, or I was thinking we could either take one of the 2s, mix it in with our 3rd, and trade up higher into the 2nd for whatever talent is there. Or if we only get a 3rd-round pick out of it, we'd trade both those 3s and get back into the 2nd. Now, to try to get this mock draft finished so I'm not way too far past the time limit, I'll keep the 2 seconds and 1/3. I'll go Jordan Willis, D end, Kansas State, and then I will go Justin Evans, safety, out of Texas A&M. That way we have 2 Evanses from the same school, both offense and defense. Now with that 3rd-round pick, I'm going to go with Sidney Jones, corner, out of Washington, or Jake Butt, tight end, Michigan. Sorry for the long Bucks tape. It won't be like this next time, but just want to know what you think about that, or the possibilities of trading back and trading back up. So anyway, speak softly. And carry that big motherfucking stick! Nailed it?
I think Jason Light has proven that he's willing to maneuver and move around. And quite frankly, I mean, you just heard Luke earlier on in the podcast say he thinks Joe Mixon goes late first, early second. So if that's an area that the Buccaneers would like to take a risk on a risky character candidate such as Joe Mixon, then that would probably be the area to do it. You trade back, you get an extra pick, and then if Joe Mixon does not pan out, you're giving yourself extra ammo in a deep draft to do what you can. Now, with that said, it is a deep draft. So what are you actually going to be able to get in return? Because there's going to be plenty of teams that probably want to do the exact same thing that you do in trade back and try and acquire more picks in a draft that is very deep at multiple positions. Let's go to Riverview. Andrew is there.
Kamish, this is Andrew in Riverview with my Bucks take about all these mock drafts. So I'm going to be the negative Nancy and the bad guy here, but I don't think there's any chance in hell that that Mixon makes it to it in the second round, or for that matter, that Dalvin Cook makes it to us in the first round. Look at all these teams that are in front of us. Let's just do Dalvin Cook in the first round. You got Carolina at 8. You got the Bills at, I think, 10. You got Cleveland. You got fucking Philadelphia. You got Indianapolis Colts. You got Baltimore Ravens. And you got the Washington Redskins. Any one of those teams could take him and are likely, you know, to be interested in him. And then if you look in the second round, you got the Lions, if I'm not mistaken, are in front of us, or they're pretty damn close. You got the Vikings in front of us. You got all those teams in the top 10 that I didn't even mention. You got a ton of fucking teams that are looking at Mixon because he won't have as much attention in the second round as he would in the first round. So we'd have to trade up with either guy, and I just don't see light doing that. So let me know what you guys think. If Luke's on the podcast, I'd really be interested in his thoughts and with my analysis there. But thanks for the time, guys, and go Bucks.
Yeah, Luke did address that earlier on, Andrew, and always appreciate you coming on with us for the Bucks Uncensored podcast. But I appreciate and understand what you said there at the end about second round pick. It does. I mean, once a player falls out of the first, you know, once like a Joe Mixon goes in the second round, it's not nearly going to get the publicity. You know, you'll have the local media that tries to drum up some sort of reaction. I got to get a reaction because I'm going to get a click out of the reaction. But I mean, Noah Spence was drafted in the second round last year, and there was so much talk about, oh, this guy, he did so many drugs, got kicked out of college, had to go to another college. How is a team going to be able to take on that guy? And the Bucks drafted him, and it never, ever came up again. So, I don't know, just shrugged my shoulders and say, well, maybe it's, I'm not saying that that's going to be the same for Joe Mixon. The video is going to haunt him for a long, long time, but I think the difference from a first-round pick and being on that first day and being on national TV and everyone watching, not everyone watches the second day, and there's a lot less hype around that. So second round, now all of a sudden, you're not going to have the same reaction that a player that goes in the first round will have. Not a lot of notoriety as well. Greg's up.
What's up, Kamish? What's up, stick carriers? Greg from Palm Harbor. Richard Sherman, what do you think, kids? Wouldn't it be great to have an all-pro in the secondary? He could be a mentor to Vernon Hargraves and would even spur a little bit more excitement than we have. I realize we've got Brent Grimes, but still can't have too many all-pros on your defense. Also, I see Marshawn Lynch might be coming out of retirement, might be going to the Raiders. I hope we at least gave him a call. Guys, we got a draft party coming up. Not sure you heard. Sports legends. If you don't have a reserve table, you're going to be wandering around Drew 19, just you and your stick. Have fun with that. But I'll be at the draft party at least Thursday night. Make sure you get by Bricado's. Make sure you take some B4. And if you haven't already heard, it's very wise to speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick.
Seems a little backwards to me, but hey, that's just me. All right, Greg, good job. Jeremy's up. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Kamish. Okay. What up? It's Jeremy and Callie. Figured I'd call in, give a little buck take on the whole deal with Adrian Peterson heading to New Orleans. You know, they don't have any money for him. I don't know what they're trying to do. But you know what? I think what they're trying to do is see what they're going to go up against next season when he gets signed by the Bucks. Like you said, after the first round. Also, I wanted to talk about Joe Mixon coming to town. And you know what, Justin? Maybe you and Lou should go take him over to Brocato's for a lunch when he's in town, and you guys can vet him. And we'll let Jason Light vet him over at the place, and what do you know? Maybe we'll end up with him in the draft. All right, well, everybody, here you go. Before Brocato's, sports legends were the 2017 draft party. Christian at Headliners, we got Joe Bucks fan, go listen to Ira Kaufman's podcast, if you will, and go get yourself a Stick Carrier t-shirt. And as always, speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick. Fire the cannons.
Yes, fire the cannons. And we'll wind this down over an hour and 15 minutes. You can tell why I'm a little tired right now, and it's not even 2:30 in the morning, which is the time I recorded last Friday night's podcast. Nonetheless, it's about 11:30, but I'm still tired. Long week. Last one. All I ask for is that you say my name like Beetlejuice. Give it to me three times.
Justin. Justin. What's up, Justin?
Perfect.
My first Bucks take. I just saw that the Buccaneers brought Joe Mixon in for a visit. I mean, I really applaud Jason Light. You know, I really respect him, and I thank him for doing his due diligence and at least kicking the tires on Joe Mixon. That says a lot. And basically, I'm just, like, trying to figure out, like, are we really going to take him? But honestly, I think Dalvin Cook is basically who Jason Light wants. And if we don't get Dalvin Cook, then Adrian Peterson is going to be the fallback, and we draft another running back, like you said. So I think we're probably just holding out to draft Dalvin Cook, and if he doesn't make it to us, then we're going to go after AP. That's just my thoughts. Thanks for what you do, man. I love listening to you. Brocato's, Sports Legends, Christian's Headlines Barbershop, B4. I wish I can get out there for the draft party, but I'll see what I can do next year. Again, this is Sean from H-Town, and signing off. Fire the damn cannons.
Yeah, fire them. Appreciate it. Appreciate everyone that sent in Bucks takes, whether yours got on the podcast or not. Keep sending them in. Next podcast will be recorded on Sunday night, and that'll be for a mock draft Monday. So get your mock drafts ready as we head into just a couple weeks away from the NFL draft. Party will be at Sports Legends Thursday night, April 27th. Draft starts at 8. We'll probably start getting there around 6:30 or so. And then Friday night starts at 7. We'll probably get there around 5:30 or so and partying throughout the night. Looking forward to seeing everyone out there for that. Reservations are full for Thursday night. There might be still a couple remaining for Friday. But remember, we did not sell out the, we didn't do reservations for the entire restaurant. So there's still going to be places for you to sit or stand. Just to party with us if you show up day of. So don't fret. Just come on out and party with us all night long, both nights, Thursday night and Friday night of the NFL draft. Follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all at Kamish Online. I'm on Snapchat as well. Just search my name. And three times a week, again, Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday, the podcast will be posted first to JoeBucksFan.com. If you subscribe on iTunes, Podcast Addict, or Podbean, you will get the podcast direct. What's the word I'm looking for? Shit. Downloaded directly to your mobile device. I told you, I'm tired. It's a long podcast. At noon each of those days as well. And hope everyone has a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Enjoy the beautiful weather. But as always, listen. Even though the weather's beautiful and you just want to scream at the top of your lungs, I need you to remember to speak softly, but always, always carry that big motherfucking stick. Nailed it.